call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellefson. Thank you for joining me this morning. My guest is my Minnesota peep, Susanna Newell. And I would like to say I wish that we were meeting and we were talking under better circumstances. Sadly, I learned of Susanna's plight after watching one of Senator Johnson's recent panel discussions in which she talked about her experience after having received the COVID shot. And then I, realized that she was from Minnesota. And so I wanted to do some digging to see, what we had in common. And I'm familiar with the neighborhood that she grew up in, because that's the same neighborhood that my dad grew up in. And she attended high school at the same school my dad attended high school. She was a healthy and fit triathlete before she received the COVID shot. And I would love to bring her on the line and introduce her to all of you. Susanna, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Meg, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak out a little more loudly about my experience.
Yes. So let's go back to what month did you receive, and what was the shot that you received, the COVID shot?
So my issues happened after my second COVID shot, and I got the Pfizer shot, and that day of my second shot was April 13th. And then 2 days later, I woke up with a really big lump. It was a lymph node, basically, in the side of my neck, and felt horrible, very, very sick, with almost like I had done two marathons or two triathlons back to back. Like, my whole body just felt an extreme fatigue that I had never felt before. I was actually thinking maybe I had lymphoma or something. I had bruises. I was easily bruising additionally. So it was scary, but I thought, all right, my body's just reacting to this. I'll wait it out. But things kept getting worse. And by the 27th of April, I finally took myself to the doctor and explained all my symptoms. I was walking at this point, just extremely fatigued and, could tell something was wrong with me. I told only my closest friends, hey, I think something's wrong with me. I don't know if I have a reaction here or if I have cancer or something. I didn't want to scare people from getting the vaccine at that point. It was new. Everybody was excited, thinking this is our way out of this pandemic. So I didn't want to be slowing that up by any means, but it definitely, the lump in my neck had gotten worse, not better. And I ended up getting an ultrasound, which led to an MRI. They saw inflammation, infection, or neoplastic, which means cancer. So I thought, oh, okay, maybe I do have cancer. And then as time went on, things started getting worse. My right leg was really burning, my right thigh, inner thigh kind of has a burning sensation, and then it makes it pretty hard for me to walk. So by May 21st, I had gone back to the doctor and it's pretty hard for me to walk because of my leg and the extreme fatigue. And by this point, I'm not coordinated and knocking into doors and things. Like, there are many other things that were starting to get off, dizzy as well. So I ended up in the ER here in Minnesota. I went to one just in the Twin Cities. And, I had chest pain at that point too. And I still intermittently get chest pain in my heart. Heart palpitations. So all of these things, are signs of either a heart attack or stroke or something. So I went to the ER. They ran a bunch of tests. I said I didn't think I had COVID, but let's do all the tests we can possibly do. So I had the COVID test, and of course I didn't have COVID. And most of the tests were coming back fine. The only thing that I really had elevated was what's called an ANA, and that is checking for inflammation. So I had that, like, borderline speckled, I think it said. So they told me I could have stayed overnight and gotten an echocardiogram, or just waited until the next, or waited to do it outpatient. Not wanting to be part of the hospital, in the hospital, I said, we'll just do this outpatient. My insurance ended up actually declining the claim for an outpatient echocardiogram, and I haven't had one to date yet even. But 2 days later, I was feeling worse, and my doctor called me to check on me, and they're like, you need to go back to the ER. Again, dizziness, not by now, my eye, my right eye, like I wasn't able to see well out of it. Like, it was blurry off and on. So my husband at this point is like, this is ridiculous. We need to go to the Mayo Clinic. At least the Mayo Clinic will be able to help. So we drove on down there and did a bunch of tests in the ER. We were there from like 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. the next day in the ER doing tests like CT scans of my brain and my chest, MRIs of my brain and in my neck, I think, because of that gland that was still swollen. I wasn't able to walk at this point unassisted because the pain in my leg was so bad. Additionally, like my pupil, my right pupil was bigger than my left, and that happens too still to this day. Not all the time, it's intermittent. I did see a neuro-ophthalmologist, and they asked me if I had had a brain injury. Which I haven't that I know of, but my right eye was acting like I had a brain injury, and they found what looked like small fiber neuropathy in the veins in my corneas too. I guess backing up to the Mayo Clinic, I was there for two nights. They did send me home not really with any answers by any means. I had done tons of tests, was pretty much left in the dark there, which I thought was a little odd since they ran so many tests, but found that the Mayo Clinic was less helpful or interested in my case than I thought they would be. Or maybe they were interested, but I wasn't, you know, a part of the conversation. So I found that part pretty frustrating.
So did any physician that was treating you eventually acknowledge that this was indeed due to the COVID shot, the second Pfizer shot, or the, you know, the combination of the two that you'd received?
Some of them did. I mean, they listened to me at the Mayo and here in the Twin Cities. I did end up calling Pfizer to report all of my issues, and they sent paperwork to my doctor, who filled out the paperwork. And at the end, the very last question is, do you think this is from the shot? And the answer was yes, which I was thankful to be understood and believed, because again, nothing, I had no underlying conditions, maybe a minor tinnitus, which is now really loud, and I don't even talk about it because there's not much you can do about it. But so they did, and it when I spoke to rheumatology at the Mayo Clinic, he also put or thought that maybe I had Sjogren's syndrome as a triggered by the vaccine. So it was discussed, but I know that they want to say it's either from the vaccine or a previous infection, but I was never previously infected. So I don't know how he could say that at this point.
Well, and I guess it, you know, I think what makes you question all of this too is that when people line up to get the shot, they're not assessing someone's, you know, individual health, and they're not, you know, they're not taking into consideration. I mean, I think the first thing that we heard when the shots were coming out is that, oh, well, this will protect those with pre-existing conditions. Well, I mean, in my mind, I conclude that, well, someone who has pre-existing conditions, their immune system potentially is not strong enough to combat or to be able to handle this, you know, whatever adverse events could potentially happen as a result of having the shot. So, I mean, it's scary. And, you know, you start to go down a rabbit hole when you think about it. I mean, I think when I talked with you off air, Susanna, when we talked, I shared that I have not had the COVID shot, and you know, I don't intend on getting it. I'm, you know, the more I learn, the more scared I get about it, and the more fearful I get about what it could potentially do to me, in light of the fact that the people that I have been talking with were all healthy prior to receiving the shot. These were people that didn't have a pre-existing condition, that weren't, their quality of life wasn't affected by some, you know, some possible health issue that they had. And that's the case with you. I mean, as I introduced you, I said that you were a triathlete, and, you know, I mean, oh my gosh, you're a rock star, because I run almost every day, but I mean, I used to joke that I only run when I'm being chased. So
yeah, me too. Actually, that's my least favorite of those three things is running. I don't run very, I like biking the best, but have you had your other vaccines? Just curious.
Oh, yes. I mean, childhood vaccines, yes. And I mean, I wasn't, you know, I'm not anti-vax, and I've been accused of that, but I'm not.
You know, me too. I know articles of it, and I've gotten every vaccine. I'm so for vaccines. What I think is unfortunate now is that this hiding of the vaccine injured, and this narrative that this is good for everybody and you're not going to have a problem, is going to make people more vaccine hesitant, right, against any vaccine. Like, right, wow, if they're pushing this and the government is mandating this and they're saying nothing's happening, but we know people are getting injured, then they're going to be afraid of all vaccines. And that's unfortunate. I mean, I wish there would just be a come to, like, hey, we're sorry, yes, people are injured, right, but we're going to make this right now. We're going to take a pause. We're going to make it right. We're going to make it safer and then get this going again, rather than hiding everything. Because again, I think that's going to ruin just regular vaccines,
right,
that
right, and
are really helping and really hurting very few. There's always going to be somebody who's hurt, though. Let's be honest. It's never going to work for everybody. We know that, but this is like tenfold or more what other vaccines have done at this,
right,
point.
And you know, the fact that it wasn't, you know, there really wasn't a long enough experimental stage. And, you know, that's the part that's so frightening, is that we don't have any long-term data on what it could potentially do to people that, you know, possibly haven't yet had a reaction, but perhaps might. I mean, your mind goes to conclude that, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, not to make light of the situation, but, you know, it's kind of like, so someone will get a T-shirt that says, you know, I survived the COVID shot. And you know, that's what's so frightening about it, is that, you know, our government, as you said too, is hiding this information, or not, they're unwilling to acknowledge it, you know, with the exception of, you know, Senator Ron Johnson, I think Senator Rand Paul too. But I mean, thank God for Senator Ron Johnson's voice, because if it weren't for him, I probably wouldn't know about this, because I was,
right,
I got connected to you through, you know, through his staff. And you know, I think if it hadn't been for that, My heart goes out to you, Susanna, because I think about, you know, the doctors that treated you, and their, you know, I perceive this as a reluctance to acknowledge that it was indeed the vaccine that did this to you. And what type of prognosis have they given you, and what's the diagnosis that they have proceeded to give you?
I think they don't really know what to do with me and others like me at this point. The only diagnosis that I've had is an autoimmune disease, and then possible small fiber neuropathy from my eye neuro-ophthalmology exam. As far as prognosis, I think they have no idea how long this will last. And I think that's true of most of my new vaccine-injured friends, and we're just trying to find, we're trying to be believed in the Western medical world, and trying to find Eastern medicine to help relieve our symptoms. I mean, some are using regular medication. I personally don't want a bunch of medication.
Right.
I don't want to start things new. I'd rather try and help my body heal more naturally.
Right. Detox, you know.
I think that's exactly what I'm doing. Yes.
Well, and just so you know, and I've shared this on air before. I have a friend who, when she received, and I'm not sure, I'll have to find out which particular pharma company she got her. She was required by her employer to get the COVID shot, and she lost vision in one of her eyes. So.
Was it temporary, hopefully, instead of permanent?
It's temporary, but I think she still has some obstructive vision with regard to that. So, and you know, I want you to have the last word, and of course, you and I will be tied together for eternity, as far as I'm concerned. But I want you to be allowed to at least say something about the message that you would like to give big pharma and big government and, you know, even big healthcare that is suppressing this information. Here's your opportunity to say what you'd like to say to them.
Yeah, I mean, I really just think there should be liability there. It doesn't make sense that big pharma is allowed to walk away not having to help the vaccine injured. And it's sad to me that the government hasn't included the COVID vaccine in the vaccine injury compensation program. It's only part of the countermeasures program, and that pays out 8% of the time after 3 years. I know so many people who are suffering right now, and they don't have like the benefits that I have as far as a nice safety support network, including my husband and friends, and then a bank account that includes some savings so that I can pay for these alternative treatments by myself. I just feel like it's not only cruel, it's criminal to me to leave us hanging without a safety net. And I guess the last word I'd want to say, and I've put these in posts, is, you know, we're battling each other so much and so intensely, like what politically, vaccine status, all of this, like as a nation, even as a world, what I think we need to do is really come together in the middle. And that's why I know I'm from Minnesota and Prince wears purple and the Vikings are purple. But like, if you think about our flag being red and blue and you intersect those two colors, it is purple. And I feel like we need to come together in the middle. Like, we should still have diversity of thought, but what we need is that overlap where we're of humanity in the Amen. Middle, where we're taking care of people.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, that's the thing, is where is the humanity in all of this? Why can't we just, you know, why can't we at least find some common ground? We're human beings. And that's the part that you know, breaks my heart, is that, you know, regardless of your, you know, your political persuasion, this should be about, you know, standing up for what's right and acknowledging that you and you know, so many others have been injured by this COVID shot, and that we shouldn't be sweeping this under the rug. Well, I'm looking at the clock, Susanna, and you know, we barely scratched the surface. I say this to all the greatest guests, so I want to keep in touch with you, and you know, perhaps we can even. I know you sent me some of your naturopath and alternative medicine providers that you're working with, and I, you know, maybe we can even do like a three-way call so that we can, you know, we could share some of what you're doing now, because this is something that I think I'm sure our listeners would be curious to hear about how you're trying to heal your body naturally, and that is what I'm all about. So, Susanna. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope and pray that you're healed from head to toe. I'm going to ask our listeners to say prayers for Susanna, that she gets healing and that she's able to face the most difficult obstacle she's going to face is a triathlon in the future. So that's what I hope for you, and I'll be in touch with you off air again soon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Meg. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Susanna. Have a great day, and God bless you.
You too.
Thank you. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll be right back. Well, actually, I'm going to probably go right into the 8:30 news on WSAU Feedback. The truth.